Good morning. I'm Jim Tevenin. Welcome to another From the Studio session. And we have guests today from one of those institutions in the Northwest that we are always enthusiastic about letting you know about supporting, and bringing you some fine performances. I'm talking about the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint. You may have heard Melody Puller and Matt Goodrich a couple of weeks ago in anticipation of a program of music of Latin America that they played. Well, we're going to now turn to the other side of this. My guests in studio today, Brenda Rutledge, who is head of the voice department at the conservatory, two singers, Jubilant Duval, who is an alto, and Cody Ontiveros, who's going to be singing for us in just a moment. Our pianist is Danielle Hughes, and this is around a program that is coming up on Palm Sunday, April 13th at 4:30 at First Presbyterian Church in Sandpoint. It's music of Giovanni Battista Pergolesi, his Stabat Mater. And right now we're going to enjoy one aria from that is going to be sung for us by Cody Ontiveros, joined by pianist Danielle Hughes.
Thank you.
Music of Giovanni Battista Pergolesi, as performed in our KPBX studio by countertenor Cody Ontiveros and pianist Daniel Hughes. And both will be there on Palm Sunday in Sandpoint to sing, along with our alto jubilant Deval, who will be singing the entire Stabat Mater of Pergolesi. Well, let's get into this here, and let me first of all greet Brenda Rutledge, who is the head of the voice department at the Sandpoint Conservatory. Good morning, Brenda.
Good morning, Jim. It's nice to be here.
It is a delight to have you. And I should be polite and introduce everybody who's here in the studio with me. Next to Brenda is our alto, who will hear sing right at the end of our time together this morning, Jubilant Deval.
Good morning. Hi, good morning.
Good to have you here with us.
Good to be here.
Cody Ontiveros, our countertenor, a voice type that you don't hear all that often. And we'll do a little bit of exploration of just how you discovered that part of your musical personality. But good morning, Cody.
Good morning.
And you're going to need to get a little bit closer there on that microphone. And joining you and joining all of us is our pianist, Daniel Hughes. Good morning, Daniel.
Good to be here.
And again, let's get back to Brenda. How long have you been with the conservatory? Since the beginning, or is it more recent?
No, the conservatory is 15 years old now, and I've been there about 9 years. So most of the time, it's been a wonderful experience.
All right. And how many students are actively involved in the vocal program?
We have about 20 right now. It varies from year to year, but we have 20 enthusiastic singers on the premises right now.
All right. Very good. And let's see. Let me ask our young singers here. Jubilant, how did you get involved with the conservatory, and have you sung forever and ever and ever?
Yes, I actually started singing at the Music Conservatory about 6 years ago. I started with musical theater and quickly learned that I wanted to be doing a little bit more than that. So, yes, been at the Music Conservatory for a while and the honors for about 5 years. I think that's when I really started getting serious.
What was the piece that kind of got you started down this different road? If you had been doing musical theater, was there an art song or an aria that you first tackled that convinced you that this was the path to take?
You know, my grandfather was actually a classical musician, and I think he's the one that convinced me after I started musical theater and learned I had a love for voice. Wasn't a specific song, no. Or peace.
All right. Very good. And Cody, I guess this is the time. Well, how did you get started? Were you again in musicals in school and that sort of thing, or choirs?
Yeah, so I started about 13 years ago when the Music Conservatory was still somewhat up and coming. Me and I think four or five, I have a lot of siblings, I lose track, but a lot of them were, we were just the majority of our choir at the beginning stages of the Music Conservatory. So then as the school grew, I did as well. So it started just as a couple little kids choirs and things like that. And as more opportunities arose in the school, I latched onto everything that they threw at me. So.
And the countertenor voice, as I said before, is one that we don't encounter all that often. When did you discover that this was a thing for you?
So obviously when I was singing as a younger boy, I had that really high voice. I trained for a very long time in that. I was very proud of my high voice, and then it changed, and I went, what the heck am I supposed to do now? So I was about, 14, 15, voice changed. I switched down to baritone, and it felt like a lot of my training went out the window, and I said, okay, this is dumb. So I stopped, and then I was actually helping a student in musical theater, I believe, because I was an assistant at the time for a musical theater thing, and they were having trouble with pitch, hearing notes when I sang it in my octave, so I would switch up to their octave. Mm-hmm. So I just started singing up where they did, because I still, just had that muscle, but I thought it was more of just like a little party trick. Ha ha, I can sing high.
Look what I can do, folks.
Exactly, yes. So, of course, Karin Wiedemeyer has ears for potential, and she heard that, and she said, I didn't know you could still sing up there. And now I'm here.
All right, very good. And Well, let me, before I move on from Cody to Daniel, was there a role or an aria or a song that you did when you were getting back into it that really kind of cemented your relationship with it? Or is it, was there one where you felt this now as an adult singing this way that you're really taking flight?
I think, let's see, I sang O Del Mio Dolce Ador. And that was the first piece that I really was able to step into. I felt like instead of a baritone that was being forced to sing really high, I felt like a countertenor singing that piece. Mm-hmm. So I've performed that a few times. I did some adjudications master classes with this piece. And I think that one really helped me take off and find confidence in
Well,
in
you know,
voice.
It's one of the ironies of physiology, I guess, that when people think of countertenors or guys who can sing high, if you want the generic classification, they'd of course be tenors to start with, because it's just a short step, you know, into the stratosphere from there. But it's not the case that it is typical that the countertenor voice is by its nature a baritone voice.
Yes, which is very interesting. I think it's just because the I'm not really sure, you know, why it's always either tenor or, you know, whatever. But it's a completely different voice, a completely different muscle that I'm using. So, in fact, I found sometimes when I'm sick, I can not sing or speak in one and I switch to the other. It's quite interesting. So it feels like a whole different muscle, a whole different genre area that I'm singing. So, yeah, they're very, very separated.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite interesting.
All right. And Daniel, how long have you been at the conservatory, and you are part of the staff?
That's correct.
And what is it that you teach? It's obviously piano, but is it collaborative piano, solo piano, or all of the above?
Yeah. So I've been at the conservatory for, I think, about 4 years. So I was previously studying in New York at the Manhattan School of Music when COVID flipped everything upside down. And I came out here to be closer to family for a bit and ended up staying longer than I thought I would. So
it happens that way. I'll just be here for a bit. Well, and then 10 years later.
Right.
All right. Very good. Well, we are talking about this Palm Sunday concert coming up on the 13th at First Presbyterian Church in Sandpoint. And that is at 4:30. The piece that you are singing and Daniel, that you are playing is one of the most famous pieces by Pergolesi, who is probably best known for his opera, La Serva Padrona. It's just a wonderfully accessible opera for both singer and audience. Let's go back to Brenda. Why the choice of the Stabat Mater? Was this a thing you had these voices that you wanted to match up to a piece to sing, or what was the process?
Well, it's something we've used at the conservatory off and on over the last few years. Several combinations of voices have performed this, and we always do it on Palm Sunday, and you can see on the flyer there with the bell choir, so that we knew come April we would be performing. And when Cody started to show real promise in this countertenor, and we've got Jubilant, who is graduating this year as this beautiful alto tone, it just was a natural pairing. And so we put the two together, and they started working really hard. Now, they've done parts of it before, because like I said, we've used it at the conservatory over the years. It's such a gorgeous piece that we just try to use it whenever we can. But we started having these two young people look at it together, and it was really a nice choice. And with Daniel at the piano, it's just an amazing ensemble.
And it is an amazing piece also. The text, the Stabat Mater text, is a hymn text that goes all the way back to the Middle Ages. If I'm a little fuzzy on the authorship of it, but it's one of those hymns that were called sequences and used to be used liturgically in lots of places in the church year. Not so much these days, but it's a deeply affecting piece also, because it is a poem working out the sorrows of Mary, the mother of Jesus, at the foot of the cross. And so it's pretty intense stuff. And let me ask down the line of singers if there Well, what's your relationship with this? I mean, how do you view this this music that you're singing? And are there specific places in the piece all overall that do affect you every time you sing them? So, Jubilant, it's yours.
I think with Lent coming up, so in the Orthodox Church, I am Antiochian Orthodox, and so this actually means a lot to me, church-wise, and with Lent coming up, a lot of the things that we are talking about in this piece are things that we're actually experiencing in the services and the writings of these saints, and so it's just really incredible to be able to feel like I can relive it, singing something that I really care and know about. So it means a lot, yeah.
All right. And Cody?
Yeah, so for me, it's, I mean, I find it amazing and just beautiful that Paragolesia, I feel that it's hard to cover the subjects that he covers in here, you know, in this text and everything with music. I feel often the music doesn't even do justice to what we're talking about, in my opinion. And I think that Paragolesi did such an amazing job writing this actual music put to this text. I think that it you know, does justice. It really brings out the importance and the beauty of the words. And I just find that it goes well together, mm-hmm. which is just not something that you find too often in sacred music in Lent.
Right. And the texts are very, very intense. Like the little aria that you sang, the Videt Suum Dulcem Natum, for the sins of his people, she, his mother, saw Jesus in torments and subjected to lashes. She saw her sweet son dying forsaken. Intense stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Paragolesi manages to capture that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And
he does, yeah.
Let me throw it to any one of you who want to comment. Are there things that he does that, in your mind, really telegraph the emotion that you're singing about? Any devices that he uses? Anything that? Brenda is smiling, so she is free to jump in as well.
I've sung the part that Jubilant will be singing, and movement number 10 is the most emotional, the most intense movement in the entire work, and it is amazingly written for them. It's very, very raw and very, very somber and slow and percussive as he's dying on the cross. And but it's written, it displays the voice in an amazing way. And we were reading the history of this work, and as Paragolesi was writing this, he was actually on his deathbed. It was the last thing he wrote. He was in the last two weeks after he completed this work, he was dead. And he died of tuberculosis, a very young man, 26 years old. So I always think about, as they're singing this music and picturing Christ dying on the cross, and he himself as a composer had an amazing connection to what that would have been like, because he himself was dying. So it's incredibly emotional.
And let me throw it to Daniel, our pianist. Are there ways in which you can bring out some of the intensity of the text as you support the singers?
I think one of the things that's most striking about this to me is that Paragolesi has such command of dissonance and resolution. Mm-hmm. And he uses that all throughout, within the continual part, but then also with the singers and the way that all the parts interplay together. He just has tremendous command of building tension, resolving it momentarily, then bringing it back and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Before we get to the piece that the duet will sing here in just a moment. Jubilant, you are finishing up at the conservatory. You're graduating. What's next on the horizon for you?
Yes, so I was accepted into the Lionel Hampton School of Music.
Nice.
And so I will be heading there in the fall and pursuing a degree in music education. So.
Excellent. With an emphasis in voice?
Yes, sir.
All right. Very good. I look forward to hearing you when you're down there. And Cody, how about you? What's on your agenda, potentially at least?
Yeah, so I've been working at the Music Conservatory lately. So a couple years ago, I was an intern. And then this last year, I kind of got bumped up to an apprentice. And then up in the fall, I will be a student teacher. So
very good.
Yeah, everything will... It's kind of been... I love how they obviously taught me through the years. So they've kind of nurtured me and let me grow. And then, you know, threw what I was ready for at me. So I'm excited that, you know, the staff feels that I'm ready to teach there fully. And yeah, I'm just excited to be able to do that. And then I also would like to keep furthering my studies as I'm as I'm teaching.
The world needs countertenors. There just aren't nearly enough of them. And, you know, it's one of those things that every so often a voice will come along, and a countertenor voice will come along that just kind of seizes everybody's imagination, which is really great. Okay, I think I will send you guys out. Let me first of all say thank you very much
for
a conversation with Jubilant DeVal, Cody Ontiveros, and Daniel Hughes, our alto, countertenor, and pianist for this production of the Stabat Mater of Giovanni Pergolesi. It'll be given on the 13th in Sandpoint. And Brenda, what's up otherwise for Sandpoint for the rest of this season?
Well, obviously the Palm Sunday concert is next. The conservatory puts on a recital the first part of May. That's children performing for children, which includes a lot of the school children from the public schools in Sandpoint. And that's always fun. We're featuring the theme this year is Ode to Joy. They'll be around the Beethoven Ninth Symphony. And then you didn't ask them, but I'm going to brag on them. They have a trip at the end of May. They're going to go sing in Prague.
Nice.
And so that's one of the other things that they're working toward, each of them preparing a few solos and doing some small bits of the Stabat Mater, but they'll be traveling to Prague at the end of May and kind of debuting on the world stage. So that's very exciting for us to send them off. Our executive director will be accompanying them and singing with them. So this is something we're all kind of working towards to support them and help them and excited with them and for them for that trip.
I hope they're doing some Mozart when they're there.
You know, they have talked about the ideas
to be announced.
I'm not quite sure what they landed on. Yeah.
Well, great. Keep us filled in on that. And tell us about what we're going to hear now from our singers. Which piece they are doing.
So this is the Quando Corpus, which is this movement is after Christ has died, and it's a very, very haunting melody, and it talks about when I see you in paradise. So you will hear the two voices really, really standing out. It's a little bit haunting, and I think you'll really enjoy it.
From our studio, music of Pergolesi. Quando Corpus Morietur from the Stabat Mater of Giovanni Battista Pergolesi, as sung by alto Jubilant Duval, countertenor Cody Ontiveros, and led by pianist Daniel Hughes. Again, the Palm Sunday concert with the entirety of the Stabat Mater, sung by our guests in the studio today, will be April 13th, 4:30 p.m., First Presbyterian Church in Sandpoint, a production of our great friends at the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint.